Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Wednesday. Pumpkin Spice Month is here, people.
You can just smell it through the radio.
You can. October the 1st, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning. Welcome back, Brother Ed.
I am back with my new bionic eyes.
Let me welcome Wesley yep. Wildman. He was here with us yesterday. Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good day.
But today we welcome back our brother to the land of the seeing.
Yes. So, I've just come back off cataract surgery. Had one eye done last week, one eye done the beginning of this week. And, man, I'm just...
How many fingers am I holding up?
You're holding up two.
That's what I'm talking about.
I can even see the fingernails.
It really is clearly.
It's pretty amazing.
Okay, before this surgery, you were using Coke bottles.
Yes.
Glasses is what I call them.
Yes.
And you were bringing that thing, anything you read. I'm not making fun.
No, you are.
You're just describing.
Okay.
I'm just...
Coke bottle glasses. But to your point, I've had Coke bottle glasses since I was like in the seventh grade. Pretty bad eyesight.
But now it's a new world.
It is a new world. No glasses, no contacts.
Now there's no going back. So are you happy with it?
Yes, I am. I am happy with it. And
it's not like the older gentleman who goes gets his hearing aids and then wishes he didn't have them.
No. Yeah, you can't just exchange them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I can't go back and say, I want my old ones back because they're in a garbage can. But anyway, my wife had to go with me, obviously, because they do give you anesthesia and that kind of thing, and you need someone to drive you home. But so this is Monday, and we're waiting in the waiting area for them to call me back, and I leaned over to my wife, and I said, there's nothing but old people here. And she said, well, welcome to the club, old man. So it is weird. You just don't think of yourself as being a part of this crowd. I was looking around.
I know.
But here I was having cataract surgery.
I think I've mentioned this before, but of course I'm 62 now.
Yeah.
I talked to a 78 or 79 year old guy. He called me a kid the other day, which I took that as a compliment.
Yes.
But anyway, so this is about a few months ago. Allison, my wife, we were driving down the road by our house going into town, and as we were driving down the road, there was it's a two lane, you know, little country paved road, and so there was this. I noticed on the right side there was this fella walking towards, it looked like he was out like exercising or whatever, but he was just barely off the side of the road. I'm talking about 3 feet off, 3 feet off the road. And I said to Allison, I said, that old man needs to get more off the road. He's going to get hit.
Yeah.
So, we got up to the old man and I said, Allison said, that's Andy Nash. Childhood friend of mine. We grew up together.
We grew up together. Old man.
And I was thinking to myself, that's the old man I'm talking about is
your age.
Is my buddy who went to elementary school with. Yeah,
and,
so.
And now the whole world knows that you called Andy Nash an old fella.
Yeah. I know. Well, it is. That's the old expression. It is what it is.
It is.
You are what you are. All right. So thank you for joining us, everybody, on the program today. A lot to talk about. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And Fred, what's our first news story?
Well, the great government shutdown, kind of, has begun at 12:01 this morning, Eastern Time, because Republicans and Democrats could not come to an agreement on a continuing resolution.
Disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing. Yeah. Anyway, there was a vote in the Senate. The Senate didn't get the 60 votes required. And so we are into officially a government shutdown. However, there are many, many, many exceptions.
Okay.
So if you're getting Social Security, you'll still get your Social Security. Medicare is still operating. It's interesting, like the IRS, it continues to operate. TSA continues to operate, although some of the air traffic controllers aren't getting paid. But because they're in a category called essential, they are still there. That's kind of scary. You're required to show up for work, but we're not going to pay you. There are going to be cutbacks in national parks and that kind of thing. In the first few weeks, we probably won't notice a big change. But as people are officially furloughed, I mentioned the IRS. Apparently, some government departments have a kitty where they have money set aside for these kinds of things. And so they'll continue to operate for a couple of weeks. The last government shutdown, 2018, I think it was, it lasted 30, 35 days, something like that. In this particular shutdown, the Republicans are blaming the Democrats, mm-hmm. saying the Democrats want to continue a Biden-era policy that saw taxpayers' dollars go towards illegal immigrants for health care. All right? So that is a big issue. Vice President J.D. Vance was on Fox and Friends this morning to talk a little bit about that. Cut number 13.
This is a Democrat talking point. They say we're not actually trying to give health care benefits to illegal aliens, and here's why it's not true. There are two Biden-era programs that explicitly gave the taxpayer health care money to illegal aliens that we turned off when President Trump took over in January. Program number one is there's a lot of emergency health care at hospitals that are provided to illegal aliens. That was funded by the federal government. We turned off that funding because, of course, we want American citizens to benefit from those hospital services, not to be taxed, and then to have those hospital services go to illegal aliens. The second of which is the Biden administration gave mass parole to millions upon millions of illegal aliens, and then they simultaneously made those parolees eligible for health care benefits funded by taxpayers.
All right. So as J.D. Vance says, one of the big issues is the Democrats want to turn that on again. So they got to work through that. One of the other interesting aspects of this, Trump being Donald Trump, his team has put together a montage of Democrats who in the past have said it is a shame, it is terrible to shut down the government. They've put all this together in a montage, a video montage, and they're actually playing it outside the office of House Speaker Mike Johnson.
Now, this is Democrats saying it when they blamed Republicans for shutting down.
Yes. So, yeah, this is a little trip down memory lane when Democrats were saying how terrible it would be to shut down the government. Cut number 12.
It is not normal to shut down the government when we don't get what we want.
If the government shuts down, it will be average Americans who suffer most. A government shutdown means seniors who rely on Social Security could be thrown into chaos.
Families will be hurt. Farmers will be hurt.
It's the service members who will work without a paycheck. It's the firefighters who will be furloughed.
This shutdown, you know who's going to feel the pain? You know who it hurts? You. Everyday people and the most vulnerable. Seniors, veterans, working families, hungry kids, y'all.
All right, there you have it. And unless you're concerned about your member of Congress not being paid during this period, just rest easy. Senator Rick Scott, don't worry about it. They're still going to get a paycheck. Cut number 5.
Maybe we would focus on get our budgets done when we're supposed to. I mean, I've been up here 6.5 years. We don't pass budgets up here. I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you know, we ought to pass a budget. We ought to work with the House to get our budgets done. They're supposed to be done by September 30. I'm a business guy. I always pass budgets. And by the way, if you didn't do your job in business, you didn't get paid. You don't show up and do your job, you don't get paid. Why are we getting paid? We shouldn't get paid if we don't do our job. We need to figure out how to work together to get our budgets done. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I'd like to see a vote in Congress on that. We don't get paid if we shut down.
You know, there's a lot here. That second part there with Rick Scott, Senator Rick Scott, that's a whole separate issue. The fact that our government, the federal government, no longer passes budgets. They just do these continuing resolutions, et cetera, et cetera. Let me set that aside for just a second. The problem here with illegal immigrants and emergency care, okay, that they are getting paid, I guess, through the Affordable Care Act, all right, with government funds. Here's the problem. Most people, if you ask them, I would answer yes, that if there's a couple who's here illegally and their kid gets, you know, injured, there's a car accident, obviously I would say you take them to the emergency room. You don't let this kid bleed on the side of the road and say, well, tough luck, you should be here legally, okay? Most people would say, obviously, you got to take care of that kid. But most Americans who've been to the emergency room anytime in the last couple of years, well, since 2020 with the Biden administration, you understand that people who are here illegally use the emergency room as their primary care physician. That's why when President Trump locked down the border and started deporting people, there were people all over the country saying there's nobody in the emergency room waiting area. It's emptied out. And that is a separate problem that has resulted from the fact that we don't know who's here, where they are, and so these things are distinct. An honest injury, yes, you take care of them whether they're here illegally or not. To me, that's a Christian thing to do. But because these people were promised free health care by Joe Biden, they're using it usually through the emergency room of your local hospital, bringing some of these hospitals to the point of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I tried to get myself upset because I just had surgery.
The government shutdown, federal government shutdown, I mean, it doesn't get my juices flowing at all. I'm just, as far as conversation wise.
Yeah.
Anybody else here? You had your 2 cents worth here.
I always have 2 cents to toss into the
Listen, it is important, but they'll get it worked out. They always do. They'll get it worked out in the next few days, and then we'll be back to normal. I think the important point here is Rick Scott, what he said there, the senator from Florida.
Yeah.
The federal government doesn't do budgets, and So that's been we have a divided government. It's 50% Republican, 50% Democrat. So you can't really, you know, you have a Democrat president and you have a Republican president. They can't really ever get together on process.
The story's memory lane for me, the hypocrisy that the Democrats said just a couple years back.
Oh, yeah, what we were quoted there?
That's the story for me personally, just to remind them that they lied and that the Democrats are shutting down the government right now.
Right. So, anyway, a
couple of Democrat senators have already caved. Senators Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada and John Fetterman. That doesn't surprise me.
I don't know. I would classify that as caving. Would you, Fred? I think they agreed with the Republicans. They caved on their Democrat colleagues, I guess you could say. Right?
Well, they didn't accept the pressure from Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, initially they weren't going to shut down the government.
Yes.
But then they've changed their mind.
Yes.
Now, the shut down the government, you got a quote we want to play or something?
Also, Senator Angus King, he's an independent of Maine. He also is voting with the Republicans.
Angus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good friend?
Is he a cattle farmer? You did there?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Huh?
But I think I agree with you, Tim. I don't think this will last long. We have an election next year.
Yeah.
People have long memories, and I think these the Fox and Friends were mentioning several other Democrats that will likely last a few days. One Republican did vote against this, joined the Democrats, and that's Rand Paul from Kentucky.
Yeah, he didn't do continuing resolutions, I don't think, if that's what they call it. He's been that way forever, if I can remember right.
He and Rand his Paul. Dad, Ron Paul, they're serious constitutionalists. Ron Paul, his dad, and then Senator Rand Paul, they know that the way Congress does things, this is both parties, is not the way they're supposed to be doing it. They're supposed to be, you know, voting. We've said on this show before, you ought to have a transportation bill.
Yep.
And you don't stuff it with pork from all these local districts and states that have nothing to do with transportation. If it's a transportation bill, if it's a defense bill, if it's an education bill, whatever, it should deal with that topic and it should be up and down votes.
Mm-hmm.
But you have these huge omnibus bills and everybody says, well, you got to vote for it or you'll shut down the government.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is ridiculous to do business this way.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. Enough federal government shutdown talk here?
Yeah.
Anybody else got anything you want to get off their chest on this? Huh?
Nope.
Okay. All right, next story.
All right, Turning Point USA last night held their first large gathering in Utah since the assassination of their founder, Charlie Kirk. And it was a big one. This one took place at Utah State University in Logan, which is about 2 hours north of Utah Valley University, where Kirk was killed on September the 10th. And last night, if there's any indication that Turning Point USA is going to survive this, they had over 6,000 people at this gathering last night. I want to play a little montage of some of those who attended this big event last night in Utah. Cut number 6.
I'm not here to eulogize Charlie Kirk. I am here to pass the torch on to every single one of you.
Charlie was such a good friend, so inspirational. It's so exhilarating to see so many people here. Just grab hold of that mantle and keep going. Don't ever slow down.
Evil thought that it could silence him, but evil forgot something. Martyrs don't disappear. They multiply.
This was more than just an attack on Charlie Kirk. This was an attack on free speech. It was an attack on America. It was an attack on American ideals. It was treasonous.
Charlie's answer to that was, be courageous, live a life of value and meaning, and do something meaningful with your life because life is bigger than you.
All right, there you have it. Very strong, emotional speeches.
Was that at the same university he was killed at?
No, sir. This took place at Utah State University in Logan.
Okay.
And we understand there was a lot of extra security.
Yeah, going forward, that's just going to have to be a requirement from now on. The left is increasingly unhinged, and you used to be able to trust people to do the right thing. Okay, maybe you might have some shouting matches.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. But you didn't have to worry about snipers killing people from the rooftops.
Or not just snipers, but people with guns
shooting
people as well. So, but not the reason. The ones I think about are the trans activists that went into the Christian schools in the last 2 years.
Yeah, there Nashville and Minneapolis.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, we've all heard anecdotally about how Charlie Kirk's assassination has really touched a nerve, especially among a lot of young people. I've seen things on X, other areas, and social media. They seem legitimate to me. I don't think these people are acting. They seem emotional, and they are a lot of people. I still see, like, for example, on Facebook and X, people posting clips of Charlie Kirk interacting with people on college campuses. As young people get interested in who Charlie Kirk was and what he did, his common sense and oftentimes biblically based approach to certain issues is going to continue to get out there and influence people. So it just seems like God is bringing some good out of a very terrible situation.
When was that event?
Last night.
Okay, because I thought they also had one at Ole Miss.
Yeah, this was the first event back in Utah since the assassination took place.
Yeah, because there's Turning Point chapters all over the country, and there was a spike after the assassination in people trying to get new charters for their schools to be a part under the Turning Point USA umbrella.
Oh, I think, what was it, 60,000 applications for charters?
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, one of the things that President Trump promised during the election campaign last year is that if he was reelected, one of his major priorities was to bring down the price of prescription drugs.
And bring down Democrats.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to do both.
Yes.
Sorry.
Doing a pretty good job of it.
Sorry to interrupt there.
Yeah, but just as an example that was given yesterday, people in other countries were paying far, far, far less for a particular drug than what Americans had to pay for a prescription drug. And so the announcement yesterday at the White House included the CEO of Pfizer. And basically, they've come to an agreement, the Trump administration, with Pfizer at least now, and I think they're working on similar agreements with other prescription drug manufacturers, that they're going to come up with a price balance. In other words, some of the other countries that were paying, let's say, $10 for 30 pills, may now have to pay $15. But it's going to come down drastically here in the United States. Pfizer also, as part of this announcement, said they're going to spend $70 billion here in the U.S. manufacturing, basically building plants, so that these prescription drugs, as we have talked about before, instead of being manufactured in some country elsewhere in the world, will now be manufactured here. So it's seen as another big win for President Trump.
Now, my understanding was that a lot of these companies, these pharmaceutical companies, were charging Americans more for the same drugs that they were charging far less in places like Europe. Okay. Was that because of insurance companies here actually footing the bill for it? What was their reason
That would be part of the ingredient, but also I think part of the conversation had to do with the price of research and development. That and I think the Trump administration was saying that why should Americans bear the cost of, and it's very costly when you're trying to develop drugs for various diseases, that it seemed the American taxpayers were paying far more for that reason. So I don't know whether moving the manufacturing here, there's going to be probably some special parts of this deal behind the scenes that we don't know yet. By moving that here, that some of the that cost will be absorbed.
It just seems bizarre to me that Americans, and I think everybody, I think this should be a bipartisan thing.
Oh.
Okay? It seems absurd to me that Americans are paying sometimes thousands of dollars a month for a drug that they're paying $25 for in Sweden.
Absolutely.
Same company.
Absolutely.
It's wrong.
It is. It is wrong.
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 Okay.
So this is going to happen across the board, or is this just Pfizer?
This is just Pfizer now, but they are, my understanding from the news conference yesterday, they're working on, I guess it's Eli Lilly. Other manufacturers of prescription drugs. They are trying to work a similar deal out with them.
Well, Pfizer, they made enough money during COVID to carry them on for another century or so, didn't they?
They did well.
Am I right?
I don't think the CEO had trouble paying his mortgage like he liked to say that.
No. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us when we get back from the break. Maybe you heard about this, but in Iowa, in Des Moines, they're going to have a new secretary of...
Superintendent.
Superintendent.
They're going to have a new superintendent of schools there in Des Moines because we'll tell you about the fellow that's...
here that's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, he's been canned.
By the way, Red Sox beat the Yankees last night. Yeah!
That's what I'm talking about. I'll be back in a minute.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And we thank you for listening to AFR. Well, joining us now is our colleague and good friend, Abraham Hamilton III. Abe's heard each afternoon, 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on the American Family Radio Network with the Hamilton Corner. That's the name of his show. Join him each weekday afternoon. So, Abe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Fred, do you want to set this story up for Abe?
Yeah. There is a man by the name of Ian Roberts. He came here several years ago, my understanding, on a student visa, which usually runs out about 8 months later. But he's stayed around in the country. He's done well. Back a few years ago, the Des Moines School District hired him to be head of that school. It's not a small school district, 30,000 students and nearly 5,000 employees. And he got a job right at the top. And the Des Moines School Board chair, her name is Jackie Norris, who, by the way, is running for a Senate seat there. She says it's not our fault that we hired this illegal alien. Cut number 15.
The board operates in good faith in partnership with the search firm that we used. And so a search firm is hired, very typical in a process. The board contracts with a search firm, and the search firm is given a set of parameters for what we're looking for in a superintendent. We are operating on the information that was given to us, and there was nothing in the information that was given to us to allude to any question about his citizenship. We can tell you that on his I-9, he stated he was a citizen, and he provided two forms of verification, a driver's license and a social security card.
And I guess that was enough for the Des Moines School Board, and they hired him. He has been paid several hundred thousand dollars, I understand. But immigration finally caught up with him in recent days.
$230,000 a year annually.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Mm-hmm. ICE recently caught up with him, and they chased him down in a car, and there was a weapon in the car and $3,000. So,
well, he got out and ran from the cops,
and
too.
ran from them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now he is facing deportation, and Des Moines, as I say, is trying to explain to the public how they got this so wrong.
Abe's laughing. Did you hear him? Why are you laughing, Abe? It's a serious news story.
It is a serious news story. I'm laughing Because if you were an illegal alien, why wouldn't you come to America? I mean, you can become the superintendent of a large school district. You can make, you know, approach
the American dream
a year. I mean, you want a dream? I mean, man. I mean, Peter Pan's got nothing on this dream. I mean, this is absurd.
I know.
And unconscionable. And it is an indictment on our nation, and particularly here, the Democrat Party, because literally yesterday I played on my show audio from Chuck Schumer from 1996, where the Democrats used to decry illegal immigration. Biden used to decry illegal immigration. But in the clip I played of Schumer, he specifically said, guys, the reason why we keep having an illegal immigration problem is because we keep giving incentives for illegal aliens to come here.
Yeah.
So to have this guy... We need to find out why he's an illegal alien. How does he have a gun? The law prohibits illegal alien from purchasing firearms.
Yeah,
$3,000 in cash. And here's a big one. I wonder what the curriculum is in Iowa. It's particularly the Des Moines school district concerning things like, oh, I don't know, open borders. You think their curriculum would oppose the violation of our federal law concerning immigration if the superintendent of the school district is himself an illegal immigrant? It is a sad state of affairs. And last thing I'll say about this, that if we had a prior administration that was serious about illegal immigration, we could have easily rooted this stuff out, because all it took, as President Trump said when in his first joint address to the Congress, that it seems that we didn't have to change immigration laws. We just needed a new president to enforce our immigration laws. And that seems to be borne out by the facts that we're seeing play out before our very eyes.
Now, this is Dr. Ian Roberts. Is that correct, doctor?
Yeah, we're not sure about it, whether it's an earned PhD.
Oh, I know the answer.
I got an idea, he has his verified citizenship.
That's right. So he's been calling himself a doctor, but he never finished his doctorate degree, nor did he ever get given a doctor's degree.
You know who looks like fools is the Des Moines School Board.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Come on, people.
Yeah. And Jackie Norris, who heads that, wants to be a U.S. senator.
She's the chairman of the school board?
Yes.
Well, now let me ask you
Not
guys.
Not a good look.
Let me just ask you a question, okay? How, and I don't know, I seriously don't know the answer to this. How frequently is the process like the one that took place here in Iowa, where they use outside firms? Well, I used to call them headhunters.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that seems like lots of corporations would go that route, and lots of school districts would go that route. Anybody know the answer to
well,
that?
Well, first of all, I don't think you're allowed to use headhunters anymore.
I think it offends headhunters around the world.
It's a stereotype from like Tarzan movies from way back, so don't...
Not literal.
You need to be sensitive about that.
Not literal.
Listen, this gentleman here... Superintendent Ian Roberts, I'm sure he's a nice guy, as I always say. I'm sure he's a nice guy if you were to play cards with him or something like that. But he lied. He lied and said he was a citizen. Who was the school board lady we just heard?
Jackie Norris.
Okay, Jackie Norris.
She's chair.
U.S. Senate candidate.
U.S. Senate. She sounds... That's sad what she did right there. Well, he had his driver's license... And his Social Security number, how are we to know he's not a, you know what I'm saying? This is a ridiculous, and this fella, he's going to be deported. If not, well, first of all, he's going to have to face charges, I guess.
Yes.
What did he do illegal here besides?
Being in the,
a handgun?
He was driving a government car, school board car. With a weapon.
With a gun?
Yes.
Which even if you legally own a weapon in Illinois, Des Moines, you're not supposed to
carry
in a government car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he runs from them physically, gets out and runs from them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, drove first, and then got out and ran physically.
Yeah. He's from Guyana.
Guyana.
Guyana,
that's a country in Africa, true?
Yes.
Okay.
And according to his immigration paperwork, this is the paperwork he filed. He also purportedly has six children by five different women.
What? Yeah. Really?
About. Yes.
That is
yes.
why I was shaking my head when you said.
Okay, he's a nice guy.
We can assume he may be a nice guy to play cards with.
You were shaking your head.
I think
no,
this
he's
is
not.
South America, I think.
Guyana? You better
it's
check
a country
your,
on the
check
northern
the globe.
Northern coast of South America that identifies with the Caribbean. Is that
now, guys, we this were gonna, is, we're guys, gonna, y'all are about to get real distracted on the point here. This is
we are
neither here nor there.
All right.
Well,
the guy,
you can trust me. I just
criminal.
Had surgery.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But I it's extremely rare that I get my geography wrong.
Okay.
And Ed, thank you for pointing that out to the world. I don't think anybody would have known any different because Abe confirmed me.
There was somebody right there screaming at the radio.
Yeah, that Guyana. There is a country in Africa with a similar name, I think. Spelled. Anyway, that's not the point, as Wesley says. The point is this fella was busted, and now he's in trouble, and the school board in Des Moines, Iowa looks.
And can I make a prediction? I think Jackie Norris will not be elected.
Not be elected, yeah.
She put out a note the other day saying, I'm having trouble raising money. I'm having trouble.
Well, this fella here, he's got $3,000 now that he doesn't know what to do with.
Pocket.
He had in his pocket so he could contribute to her campaign, right?
And
right?
It's tax deductible, isn't it?
All right, one other question we had for you, Brother Abe. You still there?
I'm still here.
Thanks for supporting me on Ghana being in Africa. I know what Abe did right there. He just trusted me because I usually get geography right. So
I had to look it up. So
all right, listen. On a more serious note, well, that's a serious story. Your hometown and home state. You're from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes.
You spent a lot of time in Houston, Texas. After we know the story after the hurricane Katrina. But now the governor there, Landry, has invited or is welcoming National Guardsmen to help in New Orleans in the same way they've helped in Washington, D.C. If I got that right?
Yeah, you do have it right. Governor Landry in Louisiana has invited President Trump to provide support for the law enforcement initiatives there. And in this... Once again, it all depends on the details. In this instance, you have the governor inviting the National Guard, similar to what happened in Memphis. The guardsmen who were there all came from Tennessee, and in Tennessee, it only ended up being about 150 guardsmen, and they weren't carrying weapons. They weren't doing law enforcement, things of that nature. So it depends on what exactly they will be doing. But this is an instance where the governor is welcoming them, and the with the collaboration between the governor and the president, you have a more clearly lawful basis for this type of activity.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you because I don't, as a conservative, I know you feel this way too, Abe, too. The idea of using federal troops inside our country, okay, that's not constitutional, I don't think.
I would oppose that.
Yeah, and I would too, and I think that
for law enforcement purposes.
Law enforcement purposes.
Yes, not for national emergency, not for natural disasters, things of that nature, or somebody invading us or something like that, but just for regular law enforcement police work, using federal troops is not constitutional. But what President Trump is talking about here, if he's invited in by a governor of a state to do a specific thing with troops, then it would be constitutional under those circumstances?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and again, it depends on what they're doing specifically.
Okay.
You know? Yes.
Okay. And if I'm a National Guardsman, you're telling me go to downtown New Orleans, and by the way, you don't have we're not going to give you a weapon. Here's a. You just need to hand out candy to the children. Hope for the best. Huh? What are you sending in the National Guard without any protection for themselves? Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think the intent is to suppress crime by having
wrestling.
No, it's just suppress it by having. In other words, it has been demonstrated that the more patrolling police do in neighborhoods, it does suppress crime because criminals see the law and they're less likely to commit some sort of crime. I'm just guessing. I'll let Abe toss in here. I'm just guessing having the National Guard out on the street or performing some functions in assistance of the regular law enforcement is meant to be a show of force and to suppress crime. Is that what this is?
Yes, that's what Governor Landry has discussed, having the National Guardsmen to support local law enforcement in various capacities would allow more visible presence of law enforcement. Most likely, the local law enforcement will be more visible because you have some of the administrative stuff and other things being done by the National Guardsmen. And so particularly in high crime areas, they want a more visible show of law enforcement presence in those areas in an effort to suppress the amount of criminal activity.
Wesley?
I was going to ask a different legal question here on a similar topic. So what about you had the invasion during Biden's term of people coming across the southern border. So you got ICE doing its job. Mm-hmm. What role can the National Guard or President Trump play using the National Guard to help ICE do their job?
Well, that's something that could be done, but that doesn't seem to be a part of what the Governor Landry and President
that's
Trump
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I should have clarified my question. Mine's more of a hypothetical of a potential use of how they could or couldn't be used in that situation.
Yeah, that would be an entirely different conversation. And you would have some type of official transaction that would have to take place to have kind of a deputizing of National Guardsmen for border and customs enforcement functions. But that seems to be beyond the scope of what's being discussed here with New Orleans in particular.
All right.
Let me just toss something. Abe, you had no idea this is coming. I'm sure you've talked about this, though. I was on our very fine American Family News website, folks. Go to AFN.net. Great stories there covering the kinds of news that we are discussing. So let me toss a quick question to you in terms of constitutionality about because here's the article that I'm looking at on American Family News. U.S. military officials discuss various options for dealing with Venezuelan drug traffickers. Now, it has been reported that the U.S. military has destroyed boats, at least on two occasions, maybe more, coming from Venezuela, that the Trump administration says were being these boats are driven by known drug traffickers. There were drugs on board, and so we blew them up. Okay, I'm asking what
that's cogent legal analysis.
Yeah, I just had surgery. Okay, so I may be talking out of my head a little bit here. I may still have some of the anesthesia my body.
You can use that for a few more days, but eventually,
I gotta lose that. Well, what do you think? What do you think of this? That what the Trump administration is doing? We fired upon and blew up boats.
Yeah, I would need to know more about what evidence they had prior to, what's the legal authorization they had concerning that, where were the boats located. I'm familiar with one of those stories. I'm not familiar with two or three of them. The one I'm familiar with is that the U.S. was made aware of this transaction in coordination with international partners to identify this particular boat. They identified with cogent evidence that it was heading for the United States of America. So I just would need more information to provide more accurate, specific assessment of it. But as a general idea, I'm not in favor of the United States government unilaterally just blowing up boats in waters all over the world. That's not necessarily something that I would be like, well, yay, happy that it's being done. That being said, if we have cogent evidence that shows that these are people that are bringing this stuff to our country, then I'm not crying any tears, shedding any tears for the drug dealers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got one other question.
Okay.
Abe thought he was about to leave.
Yeah.
But now we got one more question, but he's used to that, being in courtroom.
Yes.
In courtroom. One more question, counselor. So, all right, President Trump spoke to the generals and other, I guess, top military brass, right, Fred?
That is correct.
And you said it wasn't a stellar speech, right, Fred?
Compared to Pete Hegseth.
Huh?
Pete Hegseth was lively and alert.
President Trump was not his usual self.
No, sir.
It wasn't a MAGA crowd, though.
No.
So, I mean, it was military.
Yep.
And these people are seared, and they're not used to, they don't high five.
They don't clown around. Right.
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't. You know.
Tim, our military brass doesn't want to make America great.
No, well, they yeah, I'm maybe they do. I hope they do. But I'm just saying.
So do I.
These aren't people that
President Trump can't draw energy like he does from a MAGA crowd.
Yeah,
he draws energy
from a room full of top military brass.
Right.
No nonsense.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But President Trump said this, this is according to Axios, which is a liberal publication. This concerned me a little bit when I read him say things like this, and I hope that he's just, I don't know what word
off
you would
cuff.
Use. I don't like him trolling generals, but yeah. Anyway. President Trump told the nation's top military officials Tuesday troops should use, quote, dangerous American cities as training grounds, end quote. What in the world does that mean?
Yeah.
He shouldn't have said that, should he?
No.
Yeah.
He should not have.
Because that gives, watch this pun, that gives ammo.
Ammunition
to his enemies.
Yeah.
Because when they say he's an authoritarian, and he wants to. I hope that he stops and dials this back. I'm talking about this whole sending National Guardsmen out all over the place.
They would have to stop inviting them, you mean?
Well, he's talking about sending them into Chicago anyway. He's saying they got a terrible incompetent. He said it's a big city. Chicago is a big city with an incompetent governor. I hope he knows that it's the mayor, you know, that incompetent governor is not the mayor of the city. Anyway,
right.
I think he knows that. But the point is that I just hope he dials back this talk because this is – I don't agree with this stuff. I don't – huh? He shouldn't send troops – huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. It creates fodder for his opponents. It creates difficulty for his supporters
because
you have – you end up defending the indefensible, which you can't defend it. It's just – it's a problematic statement, and it does create concerns. Like, does he really think that's a passable possibility?
All right. Thank you, Abe. We appreciate it very much. What are you going to cover this afternoon on the Hamilton Corner?
Well, can I say one last thing about our non-friend Ian Roberts from Des Moines, Iowa?
Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah.
He, in addition to being an illegal alien hired by the Des Moines School Board, he registered to vote. He voted in Iowa and outside of Iowa. He had a deportation removal order already in place and nevertheless was hired to be the superintendent of Des Moines, Iowa school.
Nice guy to play cards with.
Yeah, well, thank you, Wesley. I accept that. I accept that dig right directly at me. Listen,
no eye contact.
This guy here... So you got it. So when people say these illegal aliens are going to find a way to vote, and the left wingers say no, they can't vote. They have to be citizens. Well, I don't even know. The left wingers say we don't care. Let them all vote. So I guess some people who would say we're making too much of the illegal immigrant problem.
They're working
America.
Hard. They're
But no, voting, absolutely not. You're not a citizen. You shouldn't be allowed to vote. And this guy proved that you could get on the rolls and you could vote even not being a citizen.
Right. You vote. There's a bunch of stuff here, but just to rehash too that really big to me is that he voted illegally and he possessed a firearm illegally.
Right.
So you can have all the rules on the books for gun control, but this guy has an illegal gun.
Right.
Right.
And he should have obeyed the gun control.
That's right.
Rules. He should have.
I think most criminals do follow the gun. Oh, no, that's right. They do.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Abe. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. I got some.
Thanks, Abe.
I got some also very important news.
Okay. Is it breaking?
It's breaking.
Chris Woodward breaks news.
I'm going to break this news.
Okay. You break this news.
The Yankees are the first team in Major League history postseason to have bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth and not score a run and lose the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you a little a history there.
Yeah.
There's nobody except Yankee fans who feel sorry for them. Okay, nobody.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched that game, and we had our best reliever.
It was a playoffs. It's baseball playoffs.
First
right?
game of the playoffs, wild right. card game, and we had our best pitcher, and he loaded the bases, no outs. And then I think he got one pop up and then struck out the next two batters.
Look at that.
That is why you watch baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
I watched, we were eating dinner last night, and we were on the TV on the restaurant was the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Cincinnati Reds. And this was the first time they had said the Cincinnati Reds made the playoffs since 2013.
I know. That's.
And Wesley doesn't remember this, but the three of us here are old enough to remember the Big Red Machine from the 70s. I mean, they have a history there in Cincinnati of some of the greatest baseball teams in history in the 70s.
Big Red Machine.
But anyway, there was this fellow on there pitching for the Cincinnati. Is that right?
Cincinnati Reds.
The Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
And he was throwing 100 miles an hour every single pitch.
Hmm. How do you hit that?
Every single pitch, 100 miles an hour.
Didn't you tell me that he got three home runs hit off him?
He did.
Pitcher?
He did. That just goes to show you how elite these the hand-eye coordination is of these top baseball hitters. They were hitting home runs off this guy.
When was this?
But all you got to do really stick the bat out
Which,
there.
I'm trying to find the player.
I don't know his name.
Well, there's a Hunter Green. He was... What day was this?
Last night.
Last night.
Oh, it's Hunter Green then. He's 6'5", 240.
Yes, he was a hoss.
Mm-hmm.
And he was humming it 100 miles an hour. But remember this. Back in the day, it was a fella named Nolan Ryan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the bionic man. And he could throw. He was like 5'11", 170 pounds.
And threw for decades.
100 miles an hour, 101, 102, 103. For nine innings.
Yes.
There was
right.
no
complete games.
Nobody relieved him.
There was no relief, setup, or closer.
Yeah. No. No, he was the starter, reliever, and closer. He pitched nine innings. Nolan Ryan, legendary pitcher there. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.